Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. I'm calling the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I don't even know if I got that right. I haven't said it in so long, so.
I think you got it.
All right, thanks. I didn't hear anyone else, so. Kathy, can you do roll call?
Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Bruce Sutter.
Here.
John Dashner.
Present.
Sharon Tobias.
Present.
Absent. Also with us is our legal counsel Andrew Ramos, our general manager Tyler Mayo, one of our committee members Craig Lutz, and myself, office administrator Kathy Powell.
Great. So thank you to everyone for being here. We're almost through the year. That's very exciting. So the next item is the public comment. Is there anybody who would like to, do we have any shareholders besides the board and the LRPC? So at this time, anybody can make a statement if it were, ask questions if they'd like. Okay, hearing none, I suggest we move on to the consent calendar. So these items are routine. If anybody has anything they'd like to remove from the consent calendar, please say something or please identify it, and then, or else we need a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. I think we need to vote, right? You think I'd know this by now. Okay. Kathy, can you do a roll call? Or
Bill Cover?
In favor.
Jeff Jones?
Yeah.
Bruce Sutter?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Sharon Tobias?
Yes. Great. Motion carries. Okay. So next we have the committee reports. Oh, I am up. So on the October 24th, we had an executive board meeting, and at that meeting, we accepted the resignation of an employee, approved a performance bonus for that employee, and promoted an employee. And we also did not approve a consulting contract. That was the gist of the business. Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, I think it's the floor is yours, Tyler.
Okay, so for my report, we have, we're moving hopefully into construction phase for the piece of pipe in between Del Rio and Snowflake. We're looking at the week of the 27th, so the week after Thanksgiving for starting that, and that will of course be weather pending. If we're looking at rain, we don't want to have a 4-foot open trench with rain and dirt sloughing off into it. So it's kind of, as soon as we can see a 10-day window where we have good weather, that's when we're going to get that pipe laid in there this year. The other projects, Boro Court and Spring Valley, will be held off until the spring. We did get the permit from the county and approval from them to move forward with it. The only issue now is the paving. It's too cold to pave. So there are requirements for the temperature of the asphalt. So unless we get some freak weather event, we get back up into the 70s for a good solid week, we're not going to attempt to do it until the spring. So that's where we're at with our projects. On the 19th of October, we had our state inspector, Robert Lapp, come out and do an inspection of, and this is something they do every 3 years. They come out and inspect the treatment plant, the distribution system, the wells and the tanks. He came out and thought everything looked in excellent working order and there was no violations issued. So it's always a good day when he comes out. Now we have another 3 years to worry about.
All right.
So no violations is great.
Congratulations.
The next ones that I have are just some pictures of a couple of the items that we have been working on over the last month or two.
In here.
Yeah. So we're going to start. So this was a vault on Elizabeth and Barbara that needed to be filled in. It was near the edge of a shareholder driveway. And he was going to be doing some work in there, so it was just a great time to get in there, pull the vault lid, the old one, and backfill the hole. So here's us using the excavator and filling the hole. And then we topped it off with road base and packed that down, and that's the finished product there. The shareholder, where you can see he has some straw laid out because of where he's going to put a driveway, he was very happy with the work that was done there. This right here is a main leak that we had at the top of Del Rio that goes up a shared driveway. It's a 2-inch line that serves 4 homes. On the 45 that's underneath the black piping, there was a crack on the inside of the 45. When it broke, it made a water jet, and then that water jet ripped through the black service line right there, which that goes to somebody's house. So the repair was we clamped the service line where it shot a hole through it with the water. Then we replaced the 45 and coupler behind it and then put in a dresser. That's that big blue item you can see on there. I think it was a good learning experience. I think that was Vince's 3rd main break and Tim's 1st. So it was a good experience for both of them to learn how to fix the main break.
Is that a polyethylene line that's going through the house?
So all our service laterals are polyethylene.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. 1-inch copper tube size.
Yeah. Are these new mains? Are these, Tyler, this from the project?
Main, this would have been from the project back with Twain Hart Construction. So when I say old, it's
10 years.
Yeah, 10, 15 years old by the most.
All right.
Then we went ahead and we resurfaced the driveway at the treatment plant. Considering we spent quite a bit of money on paving it, we resurfaced it, and that should take care of any resurfacing or patching items that we had to do at the treatment plant for probably the next 5 to 7 years. Cooper recommended not to keep resurfacing the driveway as it'll just become very slick in the wintertime. So he said definitely hold off about 5 to 7 years before we think about doing it again. And then this is where we cut out a portion of the bank and built a small retaining wall and a French drain. And then we had to add in a pad because this is where the container was going to sit to store the mini excavator. Here is where you can see the French drain where it goes around the back of the wall and the storage container set in place. There's the final of the storage container.
And where is that?
That is at the treatment plant.
Okay. And so that was going to house the...
It houses the excavator currently.
All right.
If you go back, Kathy, to mm-hmm. the where the resealing is, this one right here.
And is that a permanent...
Yes, it's a permanent spot. There's no way we can move that with an excavator. We'd have to have somebody come in with a very large loader or a very large excavator. It weighs about 6,000 pounds.
So we're not gonna put it over here next to this building.
No, it's far more secure where this one is. This is the treatment plant here, and you can see the container set in place over there. There's a camera that's over by the tower right there, so you have a visual on anything entering the driveway. Then you have the entire place is wrapped with a privacy fence and barbed wire. So
did we buy the container?
We purchased the container for just a hair over $5,000. Yeah, it was actually a very good lure. We were looking at closer to $30,000 to enclose this or even more if we could build a shop.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's all I have for my report this month.
Great. Great work. So Bill, you were up for the investment committee.
Right. I think the notes are on some of the slides there in the packet.
Yeah.
But basically, our investment advisor, Edward Jones, has recommended that we, if we're going to do CDs, this is what they recommended to purchase. I think the committee agreed with this plan the other day, right? Finance committee. So that's our proposal is to,
That's the ladder that Sarah sent us with different maturity dates, for those CDs. And most of them, you're looking at anything from 5.5% down to 4.9%. So all very good investments.
So I looked at the rates today and on CDs. So if we're going to do it, we need to do it like in the next couple of days because I think they're going to change.
Yeah, they should be dropping.
So I would recommend that is there any questions on how a CD works or, you can call it a ladder, but it's really basically you're buying CDs with different maturity dates.
I believe in the investment meeting that we had, we kind of estimated that this amount could gain us around $80,000. So that's a pretty good chunk of money.
So I guess we can go around the room. Does anybody have a question on it? If not, you want to add anything else, Tyler? Or?
No, I think you kind of covered most of it. It's pretty straightforward. We're just moving our money from the J.P. Morgan Money Market and the Edward Jones Savings and putting them into the CDs with a higher interest rate gain. And a CD is pretty much it is guaranteed amount. So I think it's pretty straightforward.
So we would need a motion.
Right. I'll make a motion that we purchase the CDs as recommended by Edward Jones on the chart there.
Do I hear a second?
A second, yeah.
Dashner.
Thank you. Kathy, can you do a roll call or the votes,
yes.
I guess?
Karen Tobias?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yeah.
Bruce Sutter?
Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Aye.
Bill Cover?
Yes.
So motion carries. Thank you to the investment committee for meeting. I understand you met a couple of times, and I think this is a great solution. So thank you for your work. So next is Finance and Rates Committee.
All right. Why don't we start with a budget? That may be the last slide. Do I have it stacked up? Do you want to put that on the screen? Yeah, I'd say over the last month, initially Tyler and I and Kathy spent some time on the budget, and then after that, the budget was tweaked a little bit and went out to the committee, and we had our second committee meeting. It was either Monday or Tuesday to pretty much finalize the budget. The biggest change to the revenues, we'll talk about the rates, the rate change next bullet item. But that topic we just talked about, the interest income, you can see we have $80,000 budgeted for that this year. So that's the biggest driver in the income. The biggest changes in the expenses compared to last year's budget was personnel costs are down just because of the vacancies and the retirements that we've had. The current year budget, we are planning on replacing some of those positions that are that are vacant. So the budget assumes that for budgetary purposes, which I think is totally appropriate, it assumes that they're there for the full year. Whether that's going to happen or not remains to be seen, but I think that's what the budget should reflect. And that's, you know, year over year on the last year's budget versus this, it's about a decrease of $62,000. And that's not only the salaries, but the fringe benefits also, you know, come down accordingly in many cases. A lot of the general expense categories are up, as you'd expect, just, you know, due to inflation. I'm not sure there's a lot to point out there. There is a purchase of a new truck that's projected this year, and that was never included in the all the detail, fixed asset. What do you guys refer to it as? I can never recall. Help me out.
A capital asset.
What's that?
A capital asset is what we're
using. Yeah, the capital asset plan. So theoretically, the money wouldn't come out of there, so we just have it coming out of the current year budget to reflect it here. But after going through, my understanding is the salaries still need to have a final approval or blessing. The committee was of the view that, you know, once that's finalized, you know, we move that this budget as presented be finalized for next year's budget purposes. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a procedural question. So the next steps are we're going to talk about the rates, and then we're going to talk about the salaries, and then we approve the budget, or what?
The salaries will be done in executive session.
Yeah, we'll talk about rates next. So, yeah, you're right. It's subject to the rate discussion as well at this stage. All right, so moving on to the rates, and I think before I even started looking at spreadsheets and whatnot, I figured the rates would be going up, you know, 6% or something like that, just to keep up with inflation. And I think, you know, with PG&E's been a lot higher than that, and so I figured, yeah, maybe 6%, I wish it was more. But after going through the budget with the additional, you know, funds we got coming in from the interest rate environment right now and investing that money, and then the salaries just being a little bit lower, you know, I just didn't call for that level of increase. So where the committee came down was a very moderate 3% increase, and that's just on the base rate. So if you look at the bottom part of the screen, the 107.50, these are the bi-monthly rates here. That was 104.50 last year. So it's an increase of $18 per year per shareholder. The USDA loan, that cost is fixed, and that rate's locked in, so there's no, you know, budgetary, you don't need to increase or decrease that. So the total will go up to 146, and so $18 increase over 146 is pretty minimal. It's just a $3 increase on 146. This is bi-monthly. So it's about a 2% increase overall. So given the environment, the inflationary environment we're all in, I can't imagine anybody having too much of a problem with that. But at the same time, you know, I feel that where the budget is, you know, it's out, you know, the rate increase is adequate. Now the other piece of it is for those people who pay for metered water. And there's a separate slide for that. This is a schedule that Tyler and I put together. This is trying to come up with the per unit cost, incremental cost of producing water. So the general cost categories are up above. And it comes down to cost per 100 cubic feet of water. And you can see it's gone up. That's not surprising. I think the 8% increase is not surprising. And PG&E's, you know, with power being a lot of it. Again, not surprising. CCWD, the 190, that's the historical rate. This is only 2023. That's going to go up, you know, for 2024. You know, and certainly, you know, our costs will as well. You know, from a committee, I think we all agree that there's really it seems that people, we should be, eventually everybody should be paying the incremental, the true incremental cost for the, you know, for the water that they use. Right now you can tell we're not there. Right now we're, before any increases this year, we're at $1.70. So the thought of the committee is to get that caught up over a number of years. We didn't really define what that was. We want to try to close that gap. You know, the total dollars associated with this that are billed throughout the year, I think is like $25,000. So it's not a big driver of the budget whatsoever. The committee decided to recommend an increase to $1.90 per 100 cubic feet. I think that's about a 9% increase over the prior year. Could we go higher? Yeah. Once we, with all the sensitivities out there on the CCWD, you know, percentages and everything else, it just didn't seem like a time to do that. And it doesn't gain us a lot by doing it, but it could just open the door for criticism when it's really a de minimis impact. But we still, over time, need to get that rate up to reflect the actual cost of water. So the committee has decided to recommend $1.90 billing for that. Any questions?
I'm confused. The CCWD charge to us for 2023 is $1.90.
Yes.
And we're charging $2.29.
No, it's costing us approximately $2.29. That's a forecasted. We did that back at the beginning of October. So until I get to December 31st, I'll be able to get you your actual cost of water. But it's somewhere around $2.20, I would say.
Now, we were billing $1.75. If I'm
currently charging $1.75 per 100 cubic feet.
We're going up, Jeff, 15 cents. So the idea was not to do it all in 1 year.
Yeah, the idea was to not do too much at once because kind of a lot of it has a driver with CCWD increase. And if you take us up to, say, 220, you're looking at a 30% increase in our water charge. And we're not gaining or losing a whole lot from it. So to just mitigate upsetness from our shareholders, we felt that 15 cents was adequate for this year. But over the next couple of years, we're going to continue to increase it and get caught up.
Okay, with you. Got it.
So what the investment, or not, sorry, not investment, the rates and finance committee was proposing is that we increase the base rate by 3% and we increase the consumptive rate to $1.90. And that's what this resolution is for, and that's what you guys would be voting on today, since we won't be able to vote and finalize on the budget, those two items, the rate increase, the consumptive rate, and the base rate.
Yeah, just a minor point. It's increased at $3, not 3%. It's pretty close, both of them, but just to make sure we've got the resolution correct.
What do you want to vote on it, Sharon, or what do you want to do? You're on mute.
Sorry. We need a motion, but I want to ask Craig a question. You said it's $3, not $3.
$3 per billing for every other billing cycle, which is a little bit less than 3% if you do the math.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the point of clarification.
All right.
So the out-of-pocket for the shareholder is $18 for the year?
Yeah. Increase. Incremental increase. Yeah.
No, I need to put something like that in the treasurer report for next year, the annual report.
Yeah, that would be right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just on the base rate, and there's the, you know, consumption as well.
I make a motion that we accept resolution number 23-11-16.
Second.
Kathy, can we do a vote?
Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
John Dashner.
Yes.
Karen Tobias.
Yes. So motion carries. It's been approved. So back to the budget, we could vote to approve it, knowing that we're going to, there'll be modifications once we do the salaries.
And I think that's the approach that we've taken in the past. I may be misremembering it, but I think that's what we've done in the past.
That's what Tyler and Kathy reminded me of today, that we can approve it conditionally, and then we see the final version.
We've approved it pending the minor changes and, of course, showing the board the finalization. That way we don't have to come back to a meeting just to finalize the last little changes that we made in salaries. Because once we make any changes in salaries, of course, then you have your IRS changing, your payroll taxes changing. Everything changes like minor bits. We're not talking large sums of money. So we, in the past, we typically voted on, we approved this budget pending, let's just say, personnel expense adjustments. And then we always send out that final, like right now, I think we're in draft 6 of the budget. We'll end up sending out one that says final on here. You guys will receive that before the first of the year, of course.
So if, do we have any discussion on the budget? Does anyone have any questions for Craig or the committee who've worked so hard on our budget?
Well, I mean, I think we should at least acknowledge Craig Lutz's contribution. It's probably the, with Tyler and Kathy, but Craig's done a simple, I can't say the word, but he's done a great job on this.
Exemplary, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Happy to help out.
Craig, no, thank you. Thank you for all of your efforts on this. I definitely appreciate it. And the board, I'm going to speak for the board, but we all appreciate your efforts in getting us to this point. So, so thank you. So I think we need, if we want to consider a motion, we need someone to make a motion to approve this conditionally, approve the budget conditionally.
Well, I'll motion to approve it, so.
Okay.
The conditional approval, whatever the right language is.
I'm sorry, Bill, what did you say?
I make a motion to approve the budget, conditional budget, whatever the correct status is.
All right. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
That's Bruce. Okay. Kathy?
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Bruce Sutter?
Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Bill Cover?
Yay.
Well, thank you again to everyone.
Did that motion cover the rates as well, since they're included in the budget, just to be certain?
The rates were
Oh, we already did.
In the resolution.
Yeah, they had a resolution. So the motion carried for the conditional approval of the budget. So I need a recording to remind me of what this means. So
I have it to you.
All right. So Ebbets Pass Accounting and Atherton Year-End Review quotes.
Okay.
I think that's Kathy.
So Ebbets Pass Accounting and Atherton have been doing our year-end review and our taxes for several years now. So I got the quote from Atherton. Their quote is $9,150 to do our year-end review. They also give us our financial paperwork that we send out to the shareholders. So I need that approved. And then Ebbets Pass Accounting helps with the final journal entries, the taxes, and the depreciation for 2024 so that we can accrue it. And she's given us a $1,500 quote.
Well, I mean, they've been doing it for years, right? So.
Yeah,
so it's not.
And as a retired CPA, that's not unreasonable at all what they're charging.
Well, no, I mean, I pay that much. Well, half. I mean, I pay half that much just for my own taxes. So
it's
inexpensive.
A little bit more than what we paid last year, but very minimal. We're talking a few hundred dollar change, which is
no, it's
everybody with their increase.
It's inexpensive.
Yeah.
And we haven't been called to the mat by the IRS or anybody, right? So
no.
It hasn't made any blunders. So.
Okay. I believe we need a motion.
Move to accept the fees from Atherton.
I'll second the motion.
Kathy?
Karen Tobias?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Bruce Sutter?
Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Bill Cover?
Yes.
So it's been approved. I do suggest that we get a revised quote from them saying that they're going to look at 2023 because in that quote it had 2022 in it.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yep. It does say 2023.
It says both.
Well, but it's a summary of estimated fees, review financial statements, fiscal year end of 12/31/23.
Isn't
that right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, I need to step outside for a minute or two. So if you guys are in executive session when I come back, I'll disconnect.
Okay. Thank you again, Craig, in case we don't see you.
Thank you for everything, Craig.
The next is just the bills. Bills, invoices, and receivables.
Okay, so we billed out 5 of 6. I think it was October 25 that I did the process of bills. We did $272,874 this time, which is the normal base rate USDA loan for residents and lots. And then the metered water over the allotment was a charge of $5,650. I did want to point out that I sent out 43 late letters to shareholders, and I had 24 of them pay. At the end of October, we had 176 that were delinquent, and that's only about 8% of all of our shareholders. I had 4 liens paid, so we're down to 16 liens. And I started writing myself notes because I don't realize it when I'm at a meeting, but there's a lot of people or several people who pay the previous billing. So they're always one billing behind. And I also have quite a few people who pay every 2 billings. So even though the delinquent numbers might look kind of large, I personally think we're doing great as far as collecting.
And they don't always pay. I mean, there's very few that we have that are getting that 160 or more days past due, which bills are in 16.
We call it slow but good.
Yeah. I know I received a couple letters the past couple weeks. 2 of the liens are in tax auction. So I don't know what those are going to look like. If they're going to get sold, then we'll get paid on those. And another lien is in foreclosure as well for non-payment of their loan. So I don't know if that will help clear up 3 more liens or what.
Good.
We'll let you know. That's it. Unless there's any questions.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
So under the reportable board items, 3 items were basically regarding the storage of the tractor. 1 was to check the Connex. We ended up going that route. It was the fairest price and was immediately here. We can see it within a couple of weeks, so it was pretty easy to choose that. The other option was John was going to check with the fire department, but we no longer needed to do that because we got the Connex. And then we canceled the enclosure for the tractor
building out the side of the bank over here to some sort of garage. And then the Finance and Rates Committee was set to meet before the next board meeting, and we completed that. So everything on the reportable board items has been completed. You're muted, Sharon.
So that brings us to the end of the general session. I want to thank everybody again for the committees who've been meeting, finance and rates, personnel, and the investment committee. So thank you again for all your efforts to make us successful. So at this point, I think we need a motion to adjourn to executive session.
Motion to adjourn. A second.
I don't think we need a vote.
Recording.
So thank you, Craig.
All right. See you guys sometime. Bye.
Thanks, Craig. I do have a question before we adjourn. Two of the people we're going to be discussing work for Tyler. Is he allowed to be in the executive session?
Yes.
Okay. As long as it's not talking about myself, I believe it's when I have to excuse myself when I heard him.
Right.
Yeah, and it's been our past practice to include the general manager in this part of the discussion.